Amen. Amen. Good morning. I heard one voice. Thank you, Rose. Good morning. I hope everyone's great this morning. Why don't you turn your Bibles, whether they be electronic or whether you're flipping pages, to Psalm 46. You know, it's... Well, first of all, I'll say that Dave and Julie are away this weekend enjoying some time celebrating their, I believe it's their 42nd wedding anniversary. So praise God for that longevity and the perseverance and really the example for our world today, where we certainly need more examples like that. And we certainly are encouraged by that. And this morning, as we look at Psalm 46, I'm reminded of, and I'll just ask the question, when things and times get difficult, how often do we find ourselves in the Psalms? So during this pandemic crisis, how many people have found themselves going to the Psalms to be able to get encouragement and read them for life and to be able to be reminded about God's wonderful promises and how great he is? So there's a few of us, and it's my hope today that as we do that, and as we delve deeper, that we really do find things that we can relate to, that we do see that God is an almighty God who is in control. And that as we get in, that we'll be blessed as we read this. So read along with me in Psalm chapter 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God." I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity to be able to come before you, to be able to sit at your feet and to learn from you. I pray truly that I would decrease and you would increase, that your words would come forth clearly, that we might learn from you, that we might gain confidence that we need in our day today. Lord, we just pray that you would teach us how to live by faith and not be so consumed with fear. We pray that you would show us that you are ever present, always available, and you give us the strength that we need for each and every day. God, may you be glorified. May our lives be changed. And Lord, we just look through the future and more people coming into your kingdom for you to be exalted on this earth and for your will to be accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. So the writer of Psalm 46 here is glorifying God because God is there. Jerusalem's sure defense that he is faithful. He has protected them. Actually, Psalms 46, 47, and 48 are a trilogy of triumph. They talk about triumph and praise and celebrating what God has done to deliver Judah from their enemies. And in particular here, it's the Assyrians. And the story that's referred to that the psalmist is writing about is 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19. And you may be familiar with the story or you can read it later, but I'll summarize it for you. And basically, the Assyrians under King Sennacherib were coming and conquering. And as they came into Judah and they lay siege against Judah and its cities, they came upon Jerusalem. And as they come to Jerusalem, they surround the city and they're looking to be able to starve them out and to be able to cut off their water supply and overtake the city of Jerusalem. Now you have to remember that the Assyrians were a very brutal and ruthless people. They took pride in demonstrating for others that they should never come up against them. And anybody that does, they would make an example of them. They were notorious for cutting off people's heads and sticking them on poles. They were notorious for leading captives away naked with hooks in their noses or in their mouths to be able to show the humiliation that no one should stand up against them. This was a very brutal, brutal people. So they come and they surround the city of Jerusalem. And King Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem see them, and they're gravely concerned. And we can understand that, can't we? The same way that we might look around and we might see viruses and cancer and other things that could certainly harm and are impacting our world. And it might look grim, and it might look like we're being besieged and attacked on all angles. But we see here that as King Hezekiah, the king of Judah, prayed that God says to him, he promised him that not one arrow of the Assyrians would come into the city, nor the Assyrians themselves. And so then what happened is that God sent an angel. And in the middle of the night, the angel killed 185,000 soldiers in the night. They wake up the next morning, the remaining Assyrians, the king Sennacherib, of the king of Assyria, King Hezekiah, the residents of Jerusalem, they look out and they see that there's been such desolation across the Assyrian army that the king Sennacherib retreats and gets out of Jerusalem. God has won a tremendous victory, and that's what we see as the backdrop for this psalm. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 22 says, "So the Lord saved Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others. He took care of them on every side." So the psalmist that's writing this is remembering what God has done for them and reminding the people of Judah, as well as us, that our God is able. Our God is strong. He is mighty. He is able to defend us. He will fight on our behalf. There is nothing that is too difficult for him. There is nothing that's too challenging. There's nothing that takes him by surprise. He is in control, and he will defend us. When he is in our midst, he will defend us. He will shelter us from the storms. He will strengthen us for each and every day and the tasks that he gives us to do. And he will be with us and lead us through even something such as a pandemic called the coronavirus. Amen? That's the backdrop that we see for Psalm 46. Now let's get into the text and see what more that God wants to teach us. But remember that God is in control. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble, verse 1 says. God is our refuge. It says that he is a shelter from danger. He shelters us. His spirit is within us. God himself dwelt in the midst of Jerusalem because he was there over the Ark of the Covenant. His presence was there in the midst of his people. God has given us his Holy Spirit. And the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead dwells in us. God himself is within us. He is in our midst. And he provides us the shelter and the safety and security. He is that refuge that we can go to be sheltered from danger. He gives us the strength that we need for anything that might come our way. And I say anything. There is nothing that is too difficult. When we are operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, there is nothing that we cannot overcome. Amen. The storms that we face are never too big. He gives us power when we are weak and strength when we need it. And you know what? He gives us sound thinking and wisdom to be able to make the right decisions so that we're not enticed to fear, but that we can remember that we can live in faith because we have a God who's in control. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." The rest of verse 1 says that he is an ever-present help in trouble. That means that he is always available, always accessible. No matter where we are, no matter what time of the day, he is always there for us. And when we truly seek him and seek him with all of our heart, we will find him. And we will find that he is more than enough for anything that is coming our way or that we are walking through. God is and was and always will be an awesome refuge, an accessible refuge, and an everlasting ageless refuge. Amen? That is our God. Verse 2 then goes in and says, because God is our refuge and strength, because he is always accessible and ever present and available for us throughout our troubles, therefore, I will not fear. Even though the earth give way, even though the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and the foam and the mountains quake with their surging, even though basically the earth gets turned upside down and everything that we know to be true gets turned on its head, I will not fear. Can you say that today? I do not fear what man can do to me. I do not fear what may come our way in this world. I will not live by fear because I live in relationship with an almighty God. Because he's our refuge and strength, he reminds us also that we cannot fear because he hasn't given us a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God does not give us a spirit of fear, but what does he give us? A spirit of power. Power that is greater than us, more than we can muster in our own strength to be able to deal with anything that comes our way. A spirit of love, to be able to love the unlovely, to be able to love those who actually dislike us and who actually want to hurt us. That can only come from God. A spirit of a sound mind and wisdom to be able to make godly, right choices in the midst of chaos and in a world that seems uncertain. The psalmist reflects on what the Assyrians had done, and we too need to reflect and remember that when we have a relationship with God, that he is our refuge and strength, and that we need not fear. Our confidence should be in God and not in ourselves, not in what we can do, not in the great plans that we can put together, not in what we think we can pull off, but in God. And when our confidence is there, we can stand, and we can stand firm. There are storms such as coronavirus that are impacting our nation. There are many other difficulties that are certainly facing us and our nation as a whole. God can, is, and will use this for his glory. Understand, God didn't bring it, but God will certainly use it. God did not bring this, but he will use it. The difficulties that come in our lives, God can use it for his glory. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who've been called according to his purpose. God will be exalted through this time. God's working. If you look for it, you can see God working. God has been expanding ministries where churches and ministries didn't even think it could go. God has been bringing more people into the kingdom of God, taking them from a life of no hope and of eternal destruction to a life of hope and new life in Christ. Many people, if you're out looking for, you can see many people are coming to Christ. They're searching. They want to know. In the midst of chaos, time and time again, whether it was 9/11 or other things that have come upon our country, we've seen that there have been windows of opportunity to share the gospel, that people have been receptive. And this is one of those times. We have an opportunity, and we need to look at this instead of as an inconvenience in how it's inconvenienced my life, but as an opportunity. And God, where do you want me to join you in what you're doing? Amen. Thank you for the two or three people that are willing to join. Amen. Amen. God is still working. God will continue to work. He's looking for us to see where he's at work and to join him in what he's doing. The scripture goes on to say in verse 4 and 5, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Now, certainly you think from a strategic perspective, to be able to have a water source, streams flowing through your city, and a way to get water is something that's vital for the sustenance of a culture, a community. And so, same thing for Jerusalem. They needed water. They needed a water source. And especially in a conflict, when the Assyrians were around them, the first thing the armies would look to do would be able to cut off water supply, cut off supplies into the city, and cut off your food. So if there were wells outside of the city, which there were in Jerusalem, then they would be susceptible and they would be open to attack. So there were these Gihon springs that are still there today you can go to visit. And they were outside of the walls of Jerusalem. And what Hezekiah did is realize that that left them in a vulnerable place. So he actually commissioned two teams of people to dig underground through rock and make a tunnel from the Gihon Springs outside of the city gates all the way into the Pool of Siloam, which you might remember in John chapter 9, where Jesus performed a miracle and he healed the blind man and told him to go wash in the Pool of Siloam. That very same pool, the water, this tunnel was dug over 1,700 feet through solid rock with chisels. Think about that. Even today, it's looked at as a modern marvel of water engineering. It's amazing that what took place. Hezekiah saw that this would be a problem. So they cut this tunnel and the water source was made available. Over 1,700 feet allowed this water source to be there even when the enemies came. And they do come, and they do come in our lives as well. Do we have the source within us to be able to help us to stand? That source is the Holy Spirit. He will never run dry in our lives. The same way that the Gihon Springs continued to feed the Pool of Siloam, the Holy Spirit will never run dry in our lives. We can never tap him out. There is more than enough. There's no reason to go out and try to find your fill out in this world. Come drink from the keg of the Holy Spirit. He will get you filled up and overflowing that you will never need anything else. Amen. John chapter 7. Says, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. John 4, verses 13 and 14, where Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. He said, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. When trouble comes, we need to draw from the springs that are within us, the wells that are within us, the source that is within us. That is the Holy Spirit. Not relying on our own self, not relying on our own strengths, but on the Holy Spirit who God has given us. Understand that God has given us himself. This is God himself within us. And the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives within us. That means there is nothing that we cannot do in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to view this time as an opportunity. We need to look at this and say, when we get into these difficult times, whether it be coronavirus or something else that will come our way, because problems will come our way. Do we recognize that we live in a fallen world? Sin impacts this world and it will continue to be a decaying world and problems will arise. But God says, do not fear, for I am with you and I will help you to overcome. Verses 6 through 9 says, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I think it's interesting there that it calls out the God of Jacob, not the God of Israel, which was Jacob's new given name. Jacob was the heel grabber. Jacob was the manipulator. This speaks to you and me that God is a God of everyone, even losers or ones that don't measure up, which is us. God is our God. You don't have to be a certain way. You don't have to reach a certain pinnacle. You don't have to do certain things to be accepted by God. God has given his son, Jesus Christ, and through him, we can be accepted and made righteous. God is the God of Jacob, and he is our strength or our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. The psalmist here is reminding us that in times of trouble, that we need to remember what God has done for us. We need to look back into his word and be encouraged by his promises. Be encouraged by the promises that he's even spoken to us individually. And we need to rest on those and remember that the same God who was faithful for those that were in Jerusalem to deliver them from the Assyrians is the same God who's delivered us each and every time from the things that have come our way. And we have no reason but to believe that he will continue to do it with what we face today. Amen. That's the God that we serve. And to know that we need to be encouraged. We can often, as we see throughout Scripture that the Israelites did, we can have a short memory and we can forget. Write it down. Remind ourselves. Encourage each other. May we be that encouragement to each other through times like this to be able to say, you got this in the power of the Holy Spirit. Surrender to God and he will bring you through. Which leads us to the end of 46. And I love this. It says, be still and know that I am God. A portion of scripture that people quote quite often, especially in times of trouble. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Once again, the God of Jacob is our fortress is said again. I find in scripture that when something is said more than once, that it's probably important. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Be still and know that I am God. I thought about that a lot this week. And I believe God is asking us and telling us to be quiet long enough to think about and realize that he is with us and he is in control. In our country, we're normally so busy running from activity to activity, thing to thing. We keep our lives so consumed with activities. This pandemic has actually given us the opportunity to slow down. Many times people say, I don't have time to read the Bible. I'm too busy. I don't have time to pray. I'm too busy. Guess what? God has given us time in this pandemic. Another one of his great blessings throughout this time. What are we doing with the time that God's given to us? We have an opportunity to be able to strengthen our faith, to strengthen our understanding of God's word, that when times come of difficulty, that we don't need to go from chaos to chaos where everything just seems to shatter and fall to the ground, but that we can be built up. We can realize whom is within us, who we have a relationship with, how great God is, and that he is faithful to protect us, guide us, strengthen us, and lead us through, that we have nothing to fear, that we can go from glory to glory instead of chaos to chaos. That no matter what comes our way, people will look at us and say, I don't get it. How are you joyful in the midst of this? I don't get it. How are you peaceful in the midst of this? I am so afraid. I don't get it. How are you living in a different way where you don't seem to be afraid of this virus or any of these other things that are going on? How do you do that? And we have the opportunity to be able to proclaim that it is not me, but it is the God who I have a relationship with. It is Jesus Christ who has changed my life, set me on a new course, and given me the ability to be able to draw from his strength and his reservoir that I have everything that I need and more for any situation. This is an opportunity. There are people around us who are very, very afraid. They are gripped with fear. And if we too allow ourselves to listen to the media, allow ourselves to get caught up in Facebook and blogs and Twitter and all this kind of stuff, and listen to all the rhetoric that's out there, we allow ourselves, and understand this, there are people that are in positions of power, political parties that are using this to try to gain an advantage and to try to put people into places of fear. As believers, we should not allow them to do that. As believers, we should be standing out different and be a light for our communities, so that the people who are afraid, let us pray and say, God, show me those around me who are afraid. Show me those that I can encourage, however that is, through a text, through a phone call, going over physically, whatever that is. God, show me what I can do. Maybe it's starting up a Bible study in your community. Maybe it's just being an example to your children about how we don't need to live by fear, but by faith. Maybe it's just praying about, God, who can you lead me through each and every day to be able to testify about your goodness and your greatness, to be able to share your gospel. I think it's by no mistake, and I find it the irony of this today. For many, many years within Christian circles, we always talk about that we need to take the gospel and the message of God outside the walls of the church. God took a pandemic to bring us to drive-in church, and here we are outside the walls of the church proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. Amen? Be led by the Spirit and not by fear. Be led by God's word. Remember his promises and know that he is your refuge and strength, and that we can stand and stand firm. John 14, verses 1 through 3 says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms." There's plenty of room for each and every one of us and many more. "If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you?" This is Jesus talking. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." God encourages us to get intentional, to be able to make him a priority. He will change our hearts, he will renew our minds, and he will settle our souls and give us a peace that passes all understanding. You know, in Isaiah chapter 30, there's a portion of scripture in verses 15 through 18 where Isaiah tells the people, he says, "This is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it." He goes on to say, just talking about, you're going to pursue after this, you're going to go this way, you're going to go that way. But this portion of scripture finishes and it says, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is God of judgment. Blessed are those who wait on him." What is he saying there? He's saying this: be still and know that I am God. That word to be still, when it's translated, means take your hands off. Stop trying to do it in your own control. Stop trying to figure it out yourself. Get to the end of yourself. Surrender it all. Be still and surrender it to me. And know I'm God. Know I'm in control. This portion of scripture in Isaiah, he's basically saying, you can follow your path. You can go your way that you want to. But when you finally get to the end of yourself, when you finally figure out that you can't do it in your own strength, and you are wiped out, you're overburdened, you're overwhelmed, you are tapped, and you prayerfully come and seek him, scripture says he will be waiting, and he will be merciful. He will not stick his finger in your face and say, "What took you so long? Why did you do this? Why did you do that?" He will be merciful. Aren't you glad that he's merciful for you and I every time that we come back to him? Amen. My question to us is, why wait? Why go through all those paths? Why go our own way? Why struggle in our own strength? Why endure all that we don't have to endure if we just take our hands off and be still and know that he is God? Allow him to have control and lead the way. There is nothing that he can't handle. As I finish up, I remind you of this. If we focus on the external forces around us, we will be thrown off track. We can be paralyzed by the things that we hear if we choose to focus on them. The same way that Peter saw the waves and the wind and he began to sink. That too can happen to us. But if we continue to remember that we have the Holy Spirit within us, that we draw from God, that we get back to his word, we remind ourselves of his promises, then we too cannot be shaken. It says that God is a fortress. That is a high, safe place. He will give us that refuge. He will give us that safety. When you feel besieged, when you feel attacked on every side, when you feel troubled, you feel overwhelmed, you feel like things are too tough and you can't handle that, God is waiting and saying, "I am here. I'm waiting for you to just surrender it all to me. Let me take it and be the God that you know I can be and the God of my word." This is a God that we can have a relationship with. God is our refuge and strength, but only if we have a relationship with him. I pray that for those that do not have a relationship with Christ, that today be the day that you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Scripture says that there's only one way to get into a restored relationship with God the Father. There's only one way to have eternal life in Him, and that is through Jesus Christ. I pray that today would be the day that you accept Him as Savior and Lord, that you can know Him as your refuge, your place of shelter, your strength, that you have the strength for anything that might come your way, that He will empower you with this Holy Spirit, those springs within us that allow us to be able to live each and every day, to persevere, to endure, to proclaim the gospel, even in difficult situations, that He will give us the ability to love others when it's hard. He will give us the ability and the wisdom to make right decisions for Him, even when it's difficult. He will give us the ability to be able to stand even when our flesh wants us to fall. Don't listen to the world and the messages it has. Get back into the world and proclaim that my God is my refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not be afraid in coronavirus, in any other pandemic, or anything that might come my way, because my God is able. Amen. Amen.